Let's continue reading verses 62 through 67 of Genesis 24. Now, in this last section of Genesis 24, we have the return of Abraham's servant and the marriage of Isaac and Rebekah. Genesis 24, verse 62. Now, Isaac came from the way of Beer Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. Then Rebekah lifted her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. For she had said to the servant, "Who is this man walking in the field to meet us?" And the servant said, "It is my master." So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent. And he took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Once again, a few background notes. Genesis 24 is the longest chapter in the book of Genesis, 67 verses. In this chapter, we've seen how God worked behind the scenes to bring Isaac and Rebekah together in marriage. Abraham's servant had traveled about 500 miles to find a wife for Isaac, the beloved son of Abraham. The servant prayed that his mission would be successful, and he prayed specifically that the Lord would lead him to the right woman. The Lord answered the servant's prayer in a most amazing way. The first woman the servant met was Rebekah. In fact, while the servant was still praying, Rebekah arrived on the scene. There's no visible miracle that takes place in this chapter, but God's sovereign program is definitely being carried out. We read of God's angel invisibly guiding Abraham's servant. We read of the specific prayers of Abraham's servant that are answered. We read of the circumstances that brought Rebekah into the picture. God not only led Abraham's servant to a wife for Isaac, he led him to the right wife for Isaac. You follow that? The nation of Israel would come through this union, right down to the genetic DNA of Isaac and Rebekah. God was guiding to bring this couple together. If Isaac had just married any believer, it would have been totally different. I mean, we're talking right down to the genetic DNA and the way the tribes of Israel would be and all of that, right? God is specifically guiding here. Can God do the same thing today? Can God bring two people of his choice together in marriage? Of course he can. If you young people here this morning look to God for his guidance, if it is his will for you to be married, he will guide you to the right person. You believe that? It will be the man or woman of his choice. Do we have some unmarried people here this morning? Yes, we do, as I look around. Do you believe that God can pull it off, bring you to his choice? How many believe that? Well, now here at the end of this chapter, Isaac and Rebekah finally meet. Verse 64 says that she dismounted from her camel. This was a sign of respect in that culture. And verse 65 says that Rebekah took a veil and covered herself. This would be a sign of modesty in that day. Now, before we move to our doctrinal points for this section, we should say something about the marriage between close relatives. Remember, Isaac and Rebekah would have been cousins once removed. That is, Isaac and Bethuel, Rebekah's father, were cousins. Now, you might say, wow, they're years apart then. Well, you remember Isaac was born in Sarah's old age when Sarah was 90. So that brings Isaac and Rebekah a little closer in age. We know from Genesis 25 that Isaac was 40. Probably Rebekah was in her 20s. Well, what about this marriage between close relatives? Well, first of all, understand that marriage between close relatives is not incest. The fact that Cain married his sister or niece was not incest. Incest is sex between close relatives outside of marriage, and it's sin. When there is marriage, it is not incest. Now, before the Mosaic Law, as here in Genesis 24, marriage between close relatives was permitted. There were no genetic problems as we would have today. Once the Mosaic Law came in, God put restrictions on marriage between close relatives. You want to read about this? Leviticus 12, Leviticus 18, and Leviticus 20. Read those chapters. However, even under the Mosaic Law, marriage between cousins was allowed. Now, one more background note. We've had the mention of camels throughout this chapter. Skeptics of the Bible used to say that, oh, this account is inaccurate. It's not historically accurate because camels were not domesticated until after patriarchal times. Well, guess what? They were wrong, all right? The evidence now shows that the Bible's right all along. Camels were used at this time. And speaking of camels, did you know that Genesis 24 has the first mention of smoking in the Bible? Verse 64 in the King James Version says that Rebekah lighted off her camel. Oh, well, you know, come on. Some of you are saying, hurry on with the message, will you, Dave? Forget this kind of stuff. All right, let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for this last section of Genesis 24. Doctrinal point number one. The spiritual picture in Genesis 24 may contain the future rapture of the church. The spiritual picture in Genesis 24 may contain the future rapture of the church. We've mentioned that in Genesis 24, Isaac is a picture or type of Christ, particularly after his death and resurrection, which is seen in Genesis 22. We've also mentioned that Rebekah is a picture or type of the church who is called out of this world and walks by faith, looking forward to meeting her Lord face to face and joining him in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And then she'll be with the Lord forever. Certainly there in this great spiritual picture of Genesis 24. Now notice in the passage before us, Isaac goes out to meet Rebekah and brings her home. Is this part of the spiritual picture? Is it possible that the rapture of the church is pictured here? We always have to be careful about reading too much into the types, as I've mentioned before. But it is possible that the future rapture of the church is included in this spiritual picture. It's certainly interesting that Isaac is not seen here in Genesis. From the time he is received back to Abraham from the place of sacrifice in Genesis 22 until now, when he goes out to meet Rebekah. I mean, he's mentioned, certainly, but he's not seen. From the time that he is received back to Abraham, which certainly pictures the death and resurrection of Christ, until now, when he goes out to bring Rebekah home. And this is certainly the way it's going to be, in reference to the future rapture of the church. I'm reading from one of the great rapture passages now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. What a wonderful time that will be. No wonder verse 18 says, therefore comfort one another with these words. Again, let's not be too dogmatic here. But the spiritual picture in Genesis 24 may contain the future rapture of the church. Doctrinal point number two. The spiritual picture in Genesis 24 may contain the present state of Israel. The spiritual picture in Genesis 24 may contain the present state of Israel. So not only the future rapture of the church, but the present state of Israel. Now, where do we see this idea possibly taught here? Possibly in Sarah. Sarah, you see, gave birth to Isaac, but then she is laid aside in chapter 23 after the sacrifice of Isaac at Mount Moriah. In the same way, the nation of Israel gave birth to their Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. But then Israel was set aside after the death and resurrection of Christ. And while Isaac waited for his bride, Rebekah, Sarah was no longer the focus of his attention. In the same way, while Israel is set aside, the church, not Israel, the church is the primary focus of our Lord's love and attention. It is the church, the bride of Christ, and not Israel, that will bring comfort to the heart of Christ at the marriage supper of the Lamb. The Bible certainly teaches that. We know from Scripture that God has future plans for the people of Israel. If you question that, read Romans 11. It is very clear that God has future plans for the nation of Israel. But right now, they are set aside as Sarah was. Again, we can't be dogmatic on this point, but the spiritual picture in Genesis 24 may contain the present state of Israel. Practical application. Are you following through on your commitment? Are you following through on your commitment? Rebekah made a commitment by faith to be the bride and wife of Isaac. She left family and friends and traveled close to 500 miles to meet and marry Isaac. The journey would have taken several weeks, as we've mentioned. Maybe there were some days when she had some doubts. Maybe there were some days when the road was rough, when everything seemed to go wrong. Did you ever have any of those kinds of days? I know you say, yeah, every day of my life is like that. It does get discouraging at times, doesn't it? But Rebekah followed through on her commitment. She never wavered or turned back. From the moment she said, I will go, she was committed for good. What about us? Are we following through on our commitment? Is it possible that you're here this morning and you're wavering in your faith? Is it possible that you're not as committed as you once were? Listen to the words of 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified or fail the test? Now, this verse is put here not to make you doubt your salvation. It is given as a warning, that's for sure. Make sure you follow through on your commitment to Christ, because if you don't, it may indicate that you never became a Christian. Maybe it was only a profession of faith. You know, I've had students who were committed at one time but are no longer walking with the Lord. It's possible that they were never true believers. Are you following through on your commitment?